Can you guys hear me? Good to be here today. I apologize for not being here the whole week. I see the testing has gotten harder. Hallelujah. I have the privilege of speaking to you guys about the gospel. Amen. We see you flow that river out, right? We flow it out. Amen. But when it's time to lead others to salvation, we shrink back sometimes. Why is that, right? That's a good question. Why don't we open up to the outline here? All right, well, message 3, correct? Yes. Let's read that whole title of message, session 2 there, the commission.
The commission to preach the gospel.
Again.
The commission to preach the gospel.
And what's the title for this message? All right, commission. Boy, some commissions you don't want to take. But you know, you don't have a choice in this commission. Write that down. You don't have a choice. The Lord has ordained for you to be, right, a commission to preach the gospel. When you got saved, sorry, that's your commission. That's one of your commissions. I wish it wasn't there too. But the Lord said that, right? You know, in John 14, we'll get into that. And even Paul realized this. Paul and all the apostles, they were persecuted and run down and chased after because they preached the gospel. Yeah. Wasn't anything else. It wasn't their living. It was the fact that they were preaching the gospels. Imagine that. If they were just believers doing their own thing, no problem. But they went and they preached the gospel. That's why they were persecuted. That's what the Lord sent them out to do. Even when he was on the earth, right? He said, go out 2 by 2. He didn't say, you just follow me and everything will be okay. He said, you still got to go out. That was the apostle. I was like, Lord, you're still here. We can just chill for a little bit. And then you can just go out. We just go with you. He said, no, you guys go out. Go out. Go out to the towns. Go out to the cities. So we have to realize we can't change this commission. Of course, we realize he didn't just give us commission without a way out. Right? It's good to know that. We'll get into that. Okay, let's read Roman number 1 together.
Yeah. We need to desire to contact others and lead them to salvation. We need to pay attention to a few items.
Who has a desire to contact others? Raise your hand. It's okay if you don't. If you don't have the desire, it's okay. But after this message, I will hope you will have a desire. Amen. That desire comes from the Christ in you. Amen. Remember that. No man, no matter who, has a desire to contact people. I guarantee you, if you had a choice, you'd be like, I just want to be by myself. That desire comes from God in you. Amen. That desire to contact people about the Lord comes from the Lord in you. That's where the desire comes from. And we all have that. Think about your experience when you get saved. Why do you want to talk about Jesus all of a sudden? I got saved. I have no idea why I don't talk about Jesus. I had a bunch of sinful friends because I was a sinful person. I got saved, and they said, talk to them about Jesus. I was like, okay. Let me tell you, it didn't go too well. But there was a desire in my being. I don't know where that came from. I thought when I got saved, okay, I just get saved. You know, that's fine. I have eternal life, whatever. I got saved. I'm like, I got to tell people about Jesus. Because I got a new life. Amen. If you don't realize that first before gospel preaching, or commission, right, to go out. You have to realize you have a new life. I have a new life. That new life is leading me to lead others to salvation. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to say is first, we must be ashamed of the gospel.
No.
Good, pay attention. What does it say?
Must not be ashamed of the gospel.
Underline, not shame, circle, whatever you have to do. One of my key points, do not be ashamed of the gospel. You know, it says in that verse. Is that a verse memorization? Romans 1:16? Well, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is Paul. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, both to Jews first and to Greek. Okay, who has that verse in their Bible? There's a great footnote. I want you to read that. Whoever has it, just stand up and read it for the word power. If you have it, just stand up and read it right away. For the footnote for power, Romans 1:16.
Denoting a powerful force that can break through any obstacle.
Amen. Amen.
This power is the resurrected Christ himself.
Amen.
It is the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
It is unto salvation to everyone who believes.
What's that first sentence say? That first sentence in the footnote, what's it say?
Denoting a powerful force that can break through any obstacle.
Wow. A powerful force that can break through any obstacle. And which it says also, that's what? The resurrection life, correct?
Amen.
So you have a power in you, a force that can break through any obstacles. I never heard of anything that could break through any obstacles, regardless what that is. You have any obstacles when you guys are trying to preach the gospel? Raise your hand if there's obstacles. Okay. Why are there obstacles? Why? Why do you think there's obstacles? What? Satan doesn't like it, correct. Who else doesn't like it? You don't like it. Just admit it. Don't say, Satan, I don't like it. Right? I don't like it. You know, I put a big note that says, don't be ashamed to lose your face. Your face is not that great, students. It's not that great. Don't be ashamed. My friends are going to be like, oh, no, they're going to know I'm not that cool guy anymore. You probably was never cool from the beginning. I'm bringing it down to you. This is a college training. This is a college training. Amen. You need to realize you cannot be ashamed of your face when you're out there. Because we have one to answer when we see him. He's going to, everything that you do, he's going to come back. And you're going to be at the judgment seat. He goes, hey, remember that time? You know, your friend's right there. And he mentioned, man, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And the Lord says, say something about the gospel. And you're like, oh. I don't know. What should I say? I don't know how to go about it. Should I start with the word Jesus? Should I not say Jesus right away? Should I talk about sports first and then bring in what the meaning of his human life is? We have all these because I've been through all these things. But you cannot be ashamed. We have to be ready, right? There's a verse. I couldn't find it. It says, be ready in season and out of season. Amen. Write that. You're right. Be ready in season and out of season. That means when the opportunity comes, you are ready. You're just not ready because... You know, it's good. We set a time. I'll get into gospel preaching. But it's not just that the only time you preach the gospel. Other seasons, you're just hanging out, relaxing, eating. The gospel comes ready to speak. You speak it. You're ready. It's like, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this moment when I don't have to bring up the gospel. They're already bringing up the gospel. They're already bringing up the meaning of their life. They're already bringing up, what am I doing with my life? They're already bringing up, I'm not happy today. That's when you're ready. Don't worry about bringing the gospel. They're bringing it up. Wow. You ever think about that? That's what they're telling you. Your friends. My focus is because you guys are college students. Your friends are your target. Your classmates are your target. That's when you need to be ready. They're ready to hear the gospel. The problem is, when are they ready? You don't have to push the gospel on them. When you push the gospel on them, they don't ever want to hear it to you. They don't want to talk to you. You just relax. Be their friend. Are you not their friends?
Amen.
Right, you are their friends. But you're not like them. You know why you're not like them? Because you are trying to lead them to salvation. When they're with you, they have no leading. They're leading you probably into destruction. But you're trying to lead them into salvation. You see the difference? We have to realize this, right? There's a being, a person in your spirit.
Amen.
That wants to flow out. Right? It wants to flow out. It says, you have a power. Do not be ashamed. You know, I got saved, and I thought my friends, I shared this, I thought they would follow me to the ends of the earth. Because with my friends, I was always leading, you know, we do this, we do that. I got saved. It's like, oh, they're all going to get saved. I shared the gospel, which I didn't know anything. I didn't even know a verse. All I said was, man, Jesus is real. And the first thing they said is, I remember him saying, like, is this for real? And they all laughed. They say, oh, are you going to wear a purple robe? Are you going to drink some wine? You know, they're all making fun of me. Are you in this? Are you in that? And right away, I was like, man, this is embarrassing. I just told my closest friends for over 10 years I found the Lord. I thought they would be happy for me, and they're making fun of me. I was ashamed for a second. Then I realized, and I said, no, this is real. I said, I found something. I said, I can't explain this. I can't explain what I found. And that's it. And I stopped. That was it. I only went what the Lord touched me at the time. That's all I need to say. And as I went on, we realized there's a living in us that we want to bring him to salvation. Okay. So first we have to be what? Not ashamed of the gospel, right? Acts 4:20 is another good verse for you guys to know. It says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I hope that's your being. I cannot but speak it. I came to the college training, right? I saw something. I heard something, so I have to speak it back. You go back to your friends and say, hey, wait, what'd you do for that? What'd you go for a week? I'm glad you asked. Where I went that week? What did you do last week? I'm glad you asked. I can only share with you what I seen and what I heard. So when we'll go out to save people, only speak what you seen and you heard. Don't try to go beyond your means. You're not here to share the, you know, something so high. I'm going to get them with this high speaking gospel. Forget it. You haven't seen it. You haven't even really heard it. You just speak what you seen and what you heard, because you cannot but speak. That's what we need to realize. We cannot but speak. Okay, so the first thing is not to be ashamed of the gospel. Second, we need to go before the Lord in prayer and ask him to fill us with the Spirit. Okay, it says when we pray, we should believe. Do you ever pray and sometimes you just don't believe? Yes, it's normal. But you need to believe. You should get rid of that unbelief. We should believe what we pray. We pray by faith and not by our feelings. Ah, my friend will never get saved. I'll just pray for him. Amen, Lord, save David. David, Lord. Oh, Lord, save David. Man, I don't think he's ever going to get saved. Oh, Lord, David. You don't believe it. If your friend, David, Josh, Emily, is always with you, you best believe they will get saved. Because they are with you, a person who has the life of God. Right? They will hear, they will observe, and they will see. And when you pray, you believe it. You say, Lord, they're with me. They're in contact with me. Why do I not believe they're going to get saved? Nobody will ever believe I will get saved. Believe me. If you saw my living, you're like, this is the furthest guy to ever receive the Lord. My nephew, you guys know Jesse, he was saved, and he met the brothers at the college he was going to that we went to. Central Connecticut State University. And he lived with me, because I only lived about 5-6 minutes from the campus. And he would say, he'd be telling the brothers and sisters, like, I have an uncle that I live with. I want to save him, but I don't know how to preach the gospel. He said, I don't know what to say to him. He's stuck in his ways. He goes to work. He watches a lot of TV. He hangs out with his worldly friends. They talk about stuff I don't really want to mention. And you know what they say? The brother said, let's pray for him. They prayed and they believed it. And when I met the brothers and sisters, they said, oh, we know about you. I go, I never met you. How do you know about me? They say, oh, we pray for you. That touched me. They were praying for me. Even he didn't believe I would get saved. He said, we just pray. You know, nobody thought the Lord was going to. Because they believe I would get saved. They pray and they believe it. When you pray to the Lord, when you want to lead others to salvation, you need to believe it. Raise your hand if you have at least 4 people you want to get saved right now on your campus. Raise your hand, at least 4. How about 3? How about 2? How about 1? There should be at least 1 person you know. And if you don't have one, you'll find one coming up. And you have to pray for months. That's not long. Pray for 2 months. It's not bad. You can pray for the whole term. And the last week of school, guess what? The Lord touches them. We have to be faithful in our prayer. We have to believe it. Believe it. I am the proof of prayer works. Amen. Believe it, right? So go and pray. 2, we can simply pray, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill me now. Amen. That's why, see that prayer, I was like, why am I not praying for somebody or something? Because we have to realize we in ourselves cannot do anything. Right. We need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? When this at John 20:22, the Lord breathed into them, right, the essential spirit. But they still had to wait in Acts for the economical spirit. They still need the power from on high. So when you go out and you preach the gospel, don't just say, oh, it's time to preach. You got to be praying before you even start the gospel. Praying as you're walking for the gospel. Say, Lord, I'm so scared. My feet are shaking, but you are the resurrection power in my being.
Amen.
And this person right here needs to hear the gospel.
Amen.
And then you say, he looks scary. Let me keep walking. No. You say, this person needs the gospel. We have to realize there's a power in us, right, that we need to say, Lord, just fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to keep going because I have a lot more to get to this small outline. Third, we need to confess our sins and obey the Lord's leading. Okay, this is a big one right here. Brothers, read one. Read that.
Whenever we feel that we have offended the Lord, we must immediately confess by telling him that we are wrong. We should also ask him to forgive us and cleanse us with his blood.
Sisters, too.
When we practice confessing our sins, we will be clear concerning the Lord's leading and concerning his moving within us. All we have to do is follow him closely.
Okay, for some reason, I thought of Acts 10. I think it starts verse 11. Peter was upstairs, right? He was in this trance, and he's praying to the Lord. The Lord brings on the sheep, right? And they have these animals. And the Lord said, Peter, slay and eat. Right? We realize Peter's a Jew. He doesn't eat anything unclean. But later he realized this is about the word being spread to the Gentiles. The problem was Peter had a concept about gospel preaching. He had a concept about who should receive the gospel, who should not receive the gospel. This was a sin that he needed to confess to the Lord. Lord, this is wrong. I keep thinking the gospel is not for them. So when we go preach the gospel, there's some things that are blocking us from speaking the word. There's some things that stop us from leading others to salvation. Say, Lord, what is it that's blocking me from speaking the word? I want to speak the word, but what is my concept like Peter? The Lord already says, slay and eat. He's done it. You just have to do it. But there's something hindering you. You say, Lord, what is hindering me? That's a big thing, right? This whole subject is on a new heart and new spirit, correct? Our heart needs to be renewed, like Peter. His heart was still old. He had the old concept. Do we have old concepts? Do we have something that's blocking our heart from this spirit to flow out? We say that song, break through every part, right? That's all parts. We say, Lord, you have to break through that part.
Amen.
Lord, there's something I just can't do. Maybe because last night I did something I shouldn't have done. Maybe I watched something I shouldn't have watched. I said something I should have not said. Then the Lord brings it up and says, confess that.
Amen.
Clean your heart.
Amen.
You want to be my representative? Clean your heart. Because
yeah.
Let's say you don't. You go preach the gospel, right? You talk about the Lord. And somebody that you were with last night comes by and hears you. They say, hey, were you with us? You didn't take care of that offense. You didn't call that person. Hey, man, I'm real sorry. I shouldn't have said that. You know, that's not, you know, all these things. So when you go out preaching, there's nothing that hinders you. You're not worried about any obstacles. You know, the gospel is a living. You need to have a living. It's not an activity. It is a living. You just live because you want to speak. Right? So we have that to see that we are living, that we just speak. And we don't know. We have, is it Nancy?
Yeah.
Sister Nancy. Can you just share real quick about speaking and what happens? You just speak and what happens? Does this microphone work?
It's good.
Just speak real quick. When you just speak, what happens?
Hi, Nancy. So in high school, I was in gym class with two of my friends, and one of them, she was already Christian, and my other friend, she wasn't saved. And so I was just so happy to finally, like, in school, be friends with a Christian. So during gym class, me and her, we would, like, talk about God or, like, what we enjoy from, like, a conference or from a hymn or a verse. And our other friend, she would like listen, and sometimes we would also talk to her about like a certain thing that we enjoyed about God. And one day, that friend who wasn't saved, she texted me. She was like, "Hi, Nancy," and I was like, "Hey, what's up?" And she was like, "I want to be baptized. Can I get baptized at your church?" And I did not expect that because I've always kind of had like, I've always kind of imagined what it'd be like to save a friend, and that wasn't it. And so I immediately texted Esther, and I was like, "Oh, my friend wants to get baptized. I don't know what to do." And she was like, "Well, you can invite her over to my house, and we can pray with her." So the next day, I told her, like, "Can we go over to my friend's house after school?" And so we went, and we read through some verses about being saved and about God. And then we prayed with her. And then a few weeks later, she was baptized at Shepherd's house.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. So, yeah. Amen. From that experience, I just really appreciate that the Lord gives us so many opportunities.
Yes.
And we shouldn't be afraid. We should just speak His word. And so many people are seeking, and they're willing to take it.
Amen. Amen. Very good. You see, you speak, you don't know. You're not ashamed. You speak it with your friends around. Who cares? That's your enjoyment. I guarantee if I ask the brothers to talk about sports, they'd be there for 4 hours. Right? Video games, sports, I don't know what sisters talk about. I don't know. TV shows, something, nails, shoes, I don't know. Dresses, style, fashion, right? You can talk about whatever. Okay, raise your hand. And if you have ever asked anybody to receive the Lord since you've been in college. Raise your hand if you have never asked anybody to ever receive the Lord. If you have never asked anybody to ever receive the Lord while you were in college. It's okay. Ethan, share something. Ethan was in college. I wanted to share. Because when you see, quote unquote, a serving one, they also were a college student. So I want to share. Well, he's been in your shoes. So understand that. Yeah. Real quickly.
So, actually, I met Falon on the campus in 2010 when I was a sophomore. That was how I came into the church life. And I didn't really know the Lord at all. I was saved, but I didn't know the Lord. And so I started going to these Bible studies on the campus like you guys probably do. And I went to home meetings, and I was really enjoying the Lord. And I was enjoying in the flow. And there were a few times. This one time I was eating in my dining hall, and I had just left the Bible study, and this kid, he just sat down at the table with me, and he just started talking to me about I don't even know what. And he was a psychology student, and I just started flowing out what I had enjoyed from the Bible study. I didn't really know what I was saying. And eventually I just asked him, I was like, "Have you ever prayed to receive the Lord?" And he said, "No." I said, "Do you want to?" He said, "Yeah, sure." So I was just in the cafeteria and I just led him to pray. I don't know what I said, but I was just enjoying the Lord.
Yeah, that's it.
And then another time I had this friend, and he worked in the computer lab with me on the campus, and his name was Don. And one day I was just walking around the campus and I sat down, and he saw me, and he just sat down next to me and just started talking about this and that. And I had been praying. I don't know. I was just like, "Lord, what about Don? What about this kid?" And then we were just sitting there and we're talking about life and college and all these things. And I was a senior about to leave. So I had the Mystery of Human Life with me. So I handed it to him. I was like, "Hey, let's read this." So we read it. And then it was funny. One of his other friends came walk by as we were halfway through. And he kind of like put it away. He kind of sat on it. and he just said hey to his friend and tried to act cool. And then his friend went away. I was like, "Hey, let's keep reading." And then... And then we read through the rest of it, and then we prayed the prayer at the end. He prayed, and he received the Lord, and he just smiled. Right. I was like, "Don just got saved."
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my experience.
Good. Does it sound easy? Yeah. Yes, it's easy. Don't say no. Okay. Zerundu says, leading people to salvation does not, underline, does not involve things that are miraculous. That was not miraculous. Does not involve miraculous. Don't have this funny concept. I know you do. Don't have funny concept of how I'm going to save somebody. I'm going to come in there like a rocket. and they're going to run away like a rocket. We need to abide in the Lord in order to bear much fruit, right? John 15:4-5, that's a big one. Abide in me and I in you, right? Abide in me and I in you, right? If you do, that's how you bear much fruit. That's right. When you abide, it goes back to the second step, that you confess your sins. You abide in the Lord. Let's say you got to clear out this first. Don't go out yet. You got to clean this in your heart. You got to take care of this first. Then you could go out. We abide. The Lord touches our being, right? And then we're not ashamed. So you go down or you go back up. So we have to see that these things are just something that we do, that there's a living. Remember, living, living, living. There's another note here that says, okay, also touch, you guys know, I think it's in Matthew 20, I think it's 24, 25, it talks about the talents, right? Bearing your talent. I'm not sure what chapter it is. It's either 24 or 25. You guys all have a talent. You guys know that? You all have a talent. You have at least one talent. That one talent is for you to just go speak something of Christ. Amen. That's a guarantee. If you receive the Lord, you can say, Jesus is real. Could you not say that to somebody? Amen. Of course you can say that. But don't be like that slave who buried his talent. He buried it in the ground. And the Lord came and says, you know I was a harsh man. You know. It ain't no surprise. I'm a harsh man everywhere I didn't sow. Right? But when you bury, you know how we bury it so long. We put so much dirt, and then we think, okay, maybe I'll do it next year. More dirt. All the following year. Oh, my last year, I'm definitely going to do it. You put so much dirt on that talent, you have nowhere. You don't know where you buried it. Right? You're like, oh, where's that talent again? Oh, okay. Never mind. Or when you get it, it's so dirty. It needs to be cleansed. By the time it's cleansed and washed, you graduate it. Is that true? It could be true. Don't let it be true for you. Say, I have a talent, Lord. Amen. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to abide. I'm going to say, Lord, what is it in me so I can flow out? And who? Say, Lord, who? Who should I preach the gospel to? We have to be very wise. When we abide, right, we have this anointing. 1 John 2:27. It says, and as for you, the anointing which you have received, even as it has taught you. So Psalm 66:18 is the verse. If I regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord did not hear. So these things all go together. We have this anointing in us. And the anointing tells us you have an iniquity. You have to open to the Lord about that. You have to be cleansed about that. Because the Lord will touch you and say, don't preach to that one. You say, but I don't want. No, the Lord says, not that one. The Lord says, that one. That doesn't fit my description. It doesn't matter. That one. I like to preach. I say all the time, I go to Walmart. I just go to Walmart to preach at night. I say, honey, I'm going to go to Walmart. She's like, how long are you going to be? I don't know. I go, and I just, the other, like, 2 weeks before I went to the California, Anaheim, a week ago, right? I went there to get something. Just talk to this young one. I'm just sharing with him what's his name, what he does. He's like, why is this guy talking to me? But I asked him about something. He said, oh, what do you do? How long have you been here? Da-da-da-da. My mind says, Lord, how do I bring up the gospel or something? But I'm just asking him, and I'm listening. When you preach, when you go out to lead, you have to listen. Don't say, okay, yeah, how's this? That's nice. Anyways, you need a Rolodex. You guys even know what a Rolodex is anymore? Yeah. It's old school. That's before computers. It's a big file of cards. You have, you know, you want this, you have it. Now you guys have files on your phone. I need this. So you need a Rolodex. You need a file when it's time to read, to talk to somebody. You know exactly what file to pull up. Don't just say, I'm going to pull up this file. They don't need that file. They need the other file. That's why you have to listen. You have to listen. Okay, what does the Lord want me to speak to this person? So I just speak. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, yeah, I was in your position. You got to get an education. You don't want to be at Walmart your whole life, do you? He says, no. So I share. I said, you know, I grew up. I told him, he goes, wow, but you need education. I said, but you know what? Regardless, I go, the best thing that ever happened to me was receiving the Lord Jesus. He's like, wow, that's all. And then I just share with him about the Lord. It's like, wow, I go, I'm going to come back to see you. He goes, okay. I go, yeah, I'm going to come because I come here all the time. And I'll see you. So I go somewhere else, and I saw this other person. David says, hey, David, you know where your name is from? He goes, I think it's in the Bible. You know who he was? He was a king. The king for who? He goes, oh, the king for God. I go, Jehovah. But you know who the real king is? That's it. That's all you have to say. And I just talk about the Lord with him. But And then I talked about one line. I said, yeah, you know, the Lord's a real king. Without him, we can't do nothing. He's on the throne. So, I mean, however you live, you got to make sure you have the king in your heart. He's like, yeah. Then I just talked about something else. I have all day to come back to talk to him. He's not going anywhere. He works at Walmart. I see him all the time. We have to be smart when we lead others. We have to know we're going to see him all the time. There's no need to give him Genesis to Revelation one time, right? Because we see our friends all the time. A little here, a little there. You give. That's what the Lord says. You don't have to give him. You just give him a little bit. Because you're going to see him tomorrow. You're going to see him the next day. So we have to be wise how the Lord leads us when we get others. I want you to get to the point where you actually are leading them to salvation. You could talk about the gospel, but do you have the boldness to take that next step and say, okay, do you want to pray? I know we're like, we could talk about the Lord. Oh, I enjoyed this weekend. Lord said, ask him to pray. You know, I have a new spirit, a new heart. Ask him to pray. You know. The Lord said, ask them to pray. And don't wait too long. Don't give them all the doctrine. They're ready to receive the Lord. You say, hey, you want to receive the Lord? Yes. Okay, let's pray. That's it. It's not hard to get to that next step. To you, it's hard. To the Lord is not. To the Lord in your spirit, he is not hard. We just got to take that step. Say, Lord, he needs to get saved. You know, I don't know. Andrew told you a couple months ago, right? We had a team reunion. And, you know, and it was late. And I was like, I got to preach the gospel. So we went. You guys heard that story? Did he tell that story?
No.
So we went to a supermarket. It was like probably late 10, right? 10 something. So they have, you know, they have a self-checkout. I want to get a smoothie. I like smoothies at night. And they didn't have one. So I go, I bought something else. But there's a cashier. I was like, I'm going to go talk to her. I said, there's nobody here. It's late. I have all the time in the world to preach the gospel to her. So I just go in her line. I know she's thinking, why is he not doing a self-checkout? There's like four self-checkouts. He's got one item. I just go talk to her. And I say, oh, how you doing? What are you doing? Oh, I don't remember much of the details. I just talking to her. And I said, then I brought up Jesus. And then I knew. I said, have you received the Lord? Let's receive the Lord. She's like, okay. So we held hands and we prayed. She received the Lord. Wow. It's pretty simple when the Lord is flowing out of you. Amen. When you're abiding in the Lord, it is really simple. Amen. The Lord in you wants to come out. Amen. It's not a hard task. Don't think of gospel preaching as a task. Gospel preaching is a living. Amen. Leading others to salvation is a living. You are so used and ready to say, hey, do you want to pray with me to receive the Lord? You're so used to that. Just like you're so used to putting on your clothes. You should be so used to getting people to come to salvation. You should know when to say, let's pray to receive the Lord. You shouldn't have a sense like this person wants to receive the Lord. Even if they said no, you said, I can't believe I asked somebody to receive the Lord. And you go home happy. Like, yes, I asked somebody. They said no, but I asked them. Lord, thank you that I asked them to receive the Lord. You know, the Lord got rejected too, right? You know that. The Pharisees didn't believe in him. How many things he said many things, and they still didn't believe into him. What? So we realize if the Lord can ask people to receive and get rejected, you're going to get rejected. But the point is you ask. You say, I'm leading others to salvation. Amen. We have to have the boldness to ask them. If we don't have the boldness, then that person will probably never get asked again. Even believers, even they say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. You don't know if they ever really receive the Lord. You don't know. I ask, hey, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I grew up in a Christian home. I say, oh, that's great. I'm so glad that your mom and dad are faithful believers in the Lord. I'm so glad. I go, but when was the Lord real to you? What do you mean? He never received the Lord. I said, well, when did you personally receive the Lord in your heart? You know, because in the Bible, we all need a personal relationship. It's not, you know, it's my mom or dad's God, but when was the time you realized, wow, God is real to me? He said, oh, I don't know. I just always thought. I said, well, let's confirm that. Let's just pray. Pray after me right now. Amen. He prayed after me. That was it. Amen. So I said, now you know for the rest of your life, from this day, you say, I received the Lord. I received the Lord. And I said, you received it. And you'll never forget that. So no matter what nobody tells you, you have eternal life. If you believe that prayer, you have eternal life.
Amen.
That's it, boy. I didn't see him after that again. But the whole point is, you go out and you just ask them. But now when you go out to ask, you have to be in the right mindset, the right frame, the right testimony when you lead others to salvation. We cannot go out in a loose way. We need to go out ready to speak. That's why you have to be ready in season, out of season. I want to always look proper because I don't know when I'm going to preach the gospel. You know, I don't want to look raggedy and stuff. And then you talk about the Lord, the guy's like, this guy doesn't, you know, unless you're coming from the gym or something, then that's different. Then you look and you work it out. But most of the time you can't, you know, the world is by appearance. Appearance matter. So when we have to, you know, we are ambassadors of the gospel. So when we go, so we have to be careful by what we wear. It means a lot to people. We have to be sure the shirts that we wear. I can't tell you what to wear. The anointing in you tells you what to wear. If we have a living for the gospel, the Lord said, you cannot wear that shirt today because you might run into somebody about the gospel. And then your shirt has a picture of a skeleton of death, but you're talking about Jesus. Right? We have, you know, that's between you and the Lord, though. When we have this living, we know what it is that we need for us to preach the gospel. We have to be excited that somebody's open to the gospel. Amen. All your friends are open to the gospel. They just don't know it. Right. They just don't know when, right? They don't know when, but they're waiting for you. And we cannot talk about things that are not profitable. We should have a heart. We say, Lord, I want to save somebody this year. Lord, I want to save somebody this year. Lord, how about this term? Lord, I need to save somebody this term. Why can't I save somebody? What's wrong with me? And the Lord said, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. You need to cleanse yourself. Amen. Confess this. Confess that. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. Stop watching this. Stop hanging out with those people. Then you will realize I can save anybody because the Lord is in me. Amen. That water flows real clear. You can flow out God to anybody because everything's been taken care of. And you're just like, this is the easiest thing ever. You're just relaxing and you're just enjoying the Lord. It's a training. College students, gospel preaching is a training. Nobody's a gospel expert the first time. Brother Ken, you're a gospel expert the first time you went out? You said things that people get offended. Preach the gospel to my family. They kicked me out the house. They said, tell us something. Who's more important, God or mom? My family's a Buddha, so parents are huge. I said, oh, that's easy, God. Going back, I probably would not have said it like that. But do you see? It takes time to know how to speak it right. Of course, you know, my testimonies, you know, they really love me. My parents really love me now. And my brothers and sisters, you know, realize I'm probably the most trustworthy one. Just the testimony, just the living. But it's a training. We got to know how to say, what to say, when to say it. Especially when you lead them, when to say, let's pray. Let's pray. We talk too much without getting them saved. Don't be happy because you gave somebody all the truth. You'd rather have somebody say, yeah, oh, man, I love Jesus. You want to love Jesus? Let's pray. That's better than you say, hey, you know what John 1:14 means? Who cares? They didn't get saved. If they don't get saved, you got to ask them to get saved. Before you leave, you know when a conversation is coming to an end. You know. You have to throw that in when you sense it. Say, hold on a second. You want to receive the Lord? Let's receive the Lord right now. I always tell people it takes less than 5 seconds. That always gets them. Say, it takes less than 5 seconds. Let's just pray. You ready? Believe this prayer. And I just start praying. Don't ask them. Lead them. It says, right? Leading others to salvation. You just lead it. Let's pray. Come on, let's just pray. It takes 5 seconds. Let's just pray. Oh, thank you, Lord, for dying my sins. Thank you, you are God. You came down. You rose on the third day. I take you now as my personal Savior. Hallelujah, I give my life to you. And they say, amen. I say, that's it, we're done. That's it. Less than 5 seconds. I say, if you believe that prayer, then God believed it. And you realize you have God in your heart now. Here's my number. Call me. But let me get your number. So it's easy to lead others when you enjoy the Lord. Amen. We have gone to the Lord. When you abide in the Lord, we need to abide in the Lord. The Lord will touch us. Okay, I am out of time. So I hope this was an encouragement to you guys. Amen. To go and just lead others to get saved.
Amen.
You have a life in you.
Amen.
Amen. Right? That life wants to come out.
Amen.
Don't get too condemned before I leave. I don't want it to be negative. Don't think that way. The Lord is just trying to get you to clean yourself out so you can do something.
Amen.
Clean yourself. Say, Lord, I'm ready for the gospel.
Amen.
Now, who's ready to go preach the gospel?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What's next?
Let's just pray with our neighbor.
Yeah, let's pray.